is Clay Millen, quarterback for the Green and Gold, and you're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Is Clay Millen going to get some help on that offensive line? Mike Brohard joining us from CSURams.com. Before we get into that, Mike, because I want to get your specifics, tell me who's going to work out, who's going to be good. I want to know everything about these guys for signing day. Last night was a pretty fun night, at least for the Nuggets, but it was really cool to see David Roddy back in Colorado.
Yeah, it really was. And I know a lot of people from up around here went down to see him play. Go back down and see him again. And I know it meant something for him to see that kind of support when he came back to town. It was obviously a great night.
Well, and he was decked out in Rams colors too. So that was kind of cool. He was supporting the Rams, and the Grizzlies were tweeting saying, "Go Rams." So I mean, that's the kind of thing. That's what's neat when you can get these players go to the next level like that. It really starts to open people's eyes at what kind of great athletics we have going on in our own backyard.
Yeah, David's a smart kid. He knows how to read the room, and he's always been very appreciative of Nico Medved and the program and what it enabled him to become and how they helped groom him and develop him. And I think you'll always see that he's gonna have CSU near and dear to his heart.
Are you surprised at how good he's doing this year? I had a feeling, Mike, that he would get drafted in the first round. But rookies, you just never know. And he is actually a big piece to what Memphis is trying to do.
No, I mean, it's been great. And I guess in some ways I've stopped being surprised by some of these things. Trying to project how things are because each level's next. When David first got here, there were a lot of people like, what do you do with him? He doesn't fit into anything. And they figured out a great way to use him. And I think that's part of the reason why Memphis went after him is because they saw the same kind of things in him that Medved did when he recruited him, that he might not fit perfectly into somebody's, pre-drawn out space, but there's a space for him and he knows how to fill it.
Mike Brohard joining us from CSURams.com. Okay, Mike. I'm seeing names. I'm seeing a lot of different names signing up to be a CSU Ram, and I don't know how to evaluate it. I know you do it in much of a more thorough sense. I just look, okay, what are positions of need? They need offensive linemen, so I just keep scrolling down to see how many offensive linemen the Rams are getting. But how do you? What's your process like in this? I mean, you see names and you go, okay, I'm excited, but I don't really know much about them until we see them out on the field.
Call me in 3 years.
I told you already. I got you in the calendar. Yeah. I'm going to ask you about every one of these guys in 3 years.
Well, you got to look at it, especially at a place like Colorado State. It's development. You're going to get some of these kids that come in and they'll play right away, right? You know, you had a Justice Ross Simmons and Lewis Brown do it last year. You're going to get some of those kids. But, when you look at the offensive line group that CSU brought in, three of them are transfers. They expect them to be able to plug and help right away. But you don't expect a true freshman offensive lineman to come in and play. I mean, it very rarely happens. So that's development. And it's the same thing when you, especially with interior defensive linemen, the guys that are ready to play defensive line don't go to Colorado State. They go to Alabama and Georgia and places like that. So you've got to develop guys, and you've got to project that they're going to get bigger and that you look at their frame and you maybe look at dad and you maybe look at an older brother and go, yep, the kid can put on weight, so we're going to do that. Some of the skill positions, yeah, I think wide receiver is generally one of the easier spots for somebody to come in and play as a true freshman. But every single one of these guys will be given the opportunity to prove that they can play and take the field next year. And if they can do it, they'll use them. Be it on special teams, be it regular rotation, and the two deep on either offense or defense, they'll do that. But it's a big class, fills a lot of holes, and there's still room for more to be added come up in February.
Is there anybody, is there a name, Mike, that sticks out to you? Is there an offensive lineman that sticks out that you think could, get playing time as soon as next season?
I don't know who's ready to come in and play right away. They've got some athletes. I would also look at the linebacker spot, the guys that they're projecting as linebackers that could come in because there's going to be an area of need there. But, these are high school kids you haven't seen them all. I don't. You look at their tape, and yeah, they look good. But what's the competition they're playing against?
Sure.
You know, some of them they might be in the recruiting profile. They're 6'3", 275, but they're really 6'1", 250. You know, things like that. But you've also got some guys that just they might have just lean frames. There are some very good players in here that were highly regarded by other folks. But I was also very, very neat to me. I think there's six kids in the class, no stars whatsoever to them. And the Colorado State coaching staff could not care less what other people think of these guys. They love them for who they are and what they do. You know, I look at a guy like, and I wrote a story about him already today, Jet Vincent. He played eight-man football in Kansas. Nobody knew who he was, or most people don't even know what his hometown, but a lot of career interceptions. And even though nobody was looking at him, as soon as Freddie Banks and Coach Vang found his tape, they looked at him, they liked him, the athleticism, the way he moved on the field, and they got him committed in October. He only had one offer, and that was from North Dakota. And they could care less because they think he fits what they do.
Well, Mike, I played eight-man football. If I would have known, you know, the eight-man football players can make. Hey, I think, who's the stud? Why am I blanking out on the stud? The plays for the Cowboys, played for Boise State. Leighton Vander Esch. He played eight-man football, didn't he?
Darn straight.
Yeah, see?
Look at who else? You know who else played eight-man football?
Who else?
John Howell.
Really?
Yeah, he turned out to be pretty good.
I mean, yeah, six-man football, I don't understand. Eight-man football is basically the same as 11-man football. It's just less guys if you do the math. That's it. Six-man football is a completely different game, though.
Yeah. Well, they're both fun to watch.
Oh, yeah.
But if they're athletic, athleticism translates. You know, another big thing about this class is pretty much every single one of them is a two-sport or three-sport athlete. They actually do not like people that are just football players because they like to see versatility and athleticism. And they talked about that a little bit in the story, too. So,
well, I'll be checking that out because I'm curious. And again, like you said, it's...
You should, Brady, because you should read everything I write.
I read most of what you write. I don't read everything, but I don't read a lot anyway. But when I am reading, I'm reading your stuff, of course.
That's good. I'm glad you hear that.
You got to get educated. You got to learn. You got to learn about Colorado State, and you are there in depth covering this team. Tell me about this guy, Mike. This 6'5", 240-pound tight end. Is it Dallin Holker? Is that right?
Yeah, from BYU.
Yeah, BYU. Like, that's a big get, isn't it?
Yeah, he's an interesting get, that's for sure, because he played early, took his mission, came back. He was one of those guys that didn't like where things were headed for him at BYU. So he, you know, entered the portal, left the team three games into the season. He's actually a package deal for us because his wife is a really good track athlete, and she signed today with the track team.
So that's cool.
We got a 2-for-1 deal there, which is really nice. But, yeah, I mean, he's interesting because, you know, they're looking for specific types of tight ends, and he seems to fit the bill for them.
Yeah. Well, you know, one guy I was really, like Tanner Arkin, I was really hoping he was going to work out, but he didn't have the season he wanted, of course, and then he moved on. But this guy, you know, just reading up on him, seeing what he can do, he might be exciting, might work right into the mix next season.
When you get a transfer, that's kind of what you hope for, is that they're automatic depth. Even if they're not a starter, they give you depth, because that's what Jay talked a lot about last year was, it's not just depth and to help you overcome injuries. You need depth in every position room to ramp up the competition so that your ones are getting better, your twos are getting better. If there's no competition, nobody to push a player, they kind of get stagnant. They plateau. So that was another big thing that they needed to do was create some competition in a few position rooms.
Mike Brohard joining us from CSURams.com. Mike, I know we talk CSU primarily, but, you know, down south there in Boulder, do you think it's going to work out that with Deion Sanders? Do you think this whole thing's going to work out? I mean, he's got a great name, and he's going to attract some players, but there is this part of me, and Mike, you know this, I like to go negative once in a while, believe it or not, and I'm having a weird feeling. I wonder if this is really going to work out for Colorado.
I know Colorado hopes it works out because they're trying to raise a lot of money to make it work out, but... Yeah, it's going to be one of those things. It's really interesting. He did a really good job in the SWAC. Does that translate with what he needs to do in the Pac-12 against bigger, better competition? I think a lot of people some people are still on the fence about that. Is Deion really a good coach? He can attract players, but can he get them to play together? These are going to be some things that you're going to end up, I mean, I think it's going to be interesting to watch. It really is.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't, a lot of things seem like a good fit, especially when it comes to coaching hires. And then for one reason or another, they don't work out. So I'm not surprised anymore. I don't think anything's ever a surefire fit, but it's going to be interesting. I mean, let's put it this way, for CU, for a program that's been down for a long, long time, they've generated a lot of buzz, and they needed that right now. And that's something that athletic department can run with for the next 6 months, because until then, they are undefeated and everybody feels great.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's generating a buzz. Everybody's feeling great about it right now. We'll see what it looks like when they take the field next season. A big game tonight for Colorado State on the men's basketball side of things. All they did was went and beat St. Mary's the other night, and now they have USC tonight. But that was a really nice win for Colorado State, especially, after that CU game and everything. That was nice to see the Rams bounce back and beat a good, especially defensively, a good St. Mary's team.
Yeah, St. Mary's is one of those teams that's tricky. It's going to look good on their resume, that win, especially to win on the road. Yeah, it was. You needed to get that taste of CU out of your mouth, get going forward again, and that is a big win for them. Now you're going to go up against the USC team that's just pretty talented, and you're doing it on the road. You're going to want to make sure that you can kind of keep that momentum going. You want to build off of it at least and step up, because right around the corner is conference play, and that's where a lot of things will get decided.
Yeah. Well, this should be a fun one tonight. Mike, appreciate you, man, for joining us each and every week. And I'm off next week, so I'm just telling you, I'm out. So we'll catch up in a couple of weeks, and we'll see how things are going. But Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, man. We're thankful that you can jump on the show and help us talk all things Colorado State.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me on. Merry Christmas to you and your audience, your loyal audience, your hooligans. So, Best of the holiday season to all of you.
All right, my friend. Mike, we'll catch up soon. That beer's going to happen. I know, one way or the other, it's going to happen. We're going to grab a beer together soon.
That sounds good with me.
All right, man. Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. I always bug him. He lives, in my neighborhood somewhere, but I don't know where exactly. So I'll figure it out. One of these days, I'm going to be standing out there, and I'm going to be like, dude, it's time. It's time to go grab that beer we've been talking about for a while. Actually, I have grabbed beers with Mike. Mike's a good dude. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Method Flow Products poll question of the day, I should say. Is this the year? Is this the year? Is this the season that the Nuggets get it done? We'll talk about that coming up next. Don't go anywhere. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.